On one occasion in the 1880s, Ellen White was leading out in a prayer meeting at the St. Helena Sanitarium in Northern California. As she often did when speaking, she had chosen a hymn appropriate to the topic of her presentation that evening. But for some reason, when the congregation stood to sing, their hearts were not in the words they were mouthing. They sang listlessly, without feeling, just as many congregations often still do. Mrs. White held up her hand to stop them. She said, "I have heard the angels sing. They do not sing as you are singing tonight. They sing with reverence. Their heart is in their expressions of song. They sing with meaning. Now let's try again and see if we can put our hearts into the singing of this song." It is reported that when the congregation started to sing again, they put real feeling into the hymn she had chosen. Through the 70 years of Ellen White's ministry, she heard the angel sing a number of times in vision. Not only did Mrs. White hear the angel choir, but she also gives us a verbal description of the angelic singing. She says, "I have been shown the order, the perfect order of heaven, and have been enraptured as I listened to the perfect music there. I have seen companies of angels who stood in a hollow square, everyone having a harp of gold. There is one angel who always leads, who first touches the harp and strikes the note. Then all join in the rich, perfect music of heaven. It cannot be described. It is melody, heavenly, divine. While from every countenance beams the image of Jesus, shining with glory unspeakable." A number of times, Ellen White heard this singing in vision. She wrote, "Music forms a part of God's worship in the courts above, and we should endeavor in our songs of praise to approach as nearly as possible to the harmony of the heavenly courts. Singing as a part of religious service is as much an act of worship as is prayer." Many times, Ella Robinson heard her grandmother say, "Children, we must learn to sing the songs of Zion here if we would join the angel choir yonder." What heavenly music, when sung softly and reverently, reminds the singer of the heavenly choir the angels that Ellen White saw and heard in vision. The hymn is one that James White included in his first 1849 hymnal. This hymn is one of many that use the crossing of the Jordan as a metaphor for crossing over into the heavenly land. Based on the text, "When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan," Joshua 3, verse 8. In some of these songs, the inference is that death furnishes the instant of the crossover, but that is not according to the plain words of Scripture. On the other hand, the metaphor can apply to the second coming, when the redeemed cross the barrier between their long pilgrimage on earth and the heavenly land of promise. There they all join in heavenly music with the angel choirs. Don't you want to be part of that heavenly music and the angel choirs in heaven? And so this is an old Advent hymn that we don't often hear sung anymore. I'm going to play this for you on my recorder. This is an English recorder. And if you'd like to turn in your hymn books to hymn number 452, I'd like for you to sing along if you'd like. And think of the words that are there written on the page.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Dahl, for giving us a glimpse of heavenly music. Our scripture this morning is taken from the book of 1 Thessalonians, and I'll be reading from chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. I'm reading from the New King James Translation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. May God bless the reading this morning. The next voice you hear will be of our own dear Owen, Chaplain Owen Roberts.
God bless you and happy Sabbath. This title, Chaplain, is so new that I don't even know who they're talking about anymore. Yes, I was blessed and was certified recently as a chaplain, so that's a blessing. So it's a new thing. I'm still Owen. Just call me that, please. It's a new thing. But before I get started this morning, there's two things I'd like to do. One, I'm going to have my daughter sing for me because she's part of my ministry. Secondly, Carol, thank you so much for that beautiful song. You know, when I was growing up, we used to play the recorder in school, but it never sounded like that. I don't know what happened. I mean, you got a different one, right? You have a special recorder, don't you? Okay. But that was beautiful. Thank you again. And the other thing I'd like to do is I believe that before we can get into an attitude of prayer and worship, we have to clear ourselves of any kind of impediments or noise, spiritual noises. And this morning I was running late. And to the elders, and I just want to apologize for that. It was not an intention to run late. It wasn't because I thought myself grand. You know, there's a story about some children in a small town that played together often. And this one time they got together, and they said, we need to build a clubhouse. And there was a building at the edge of the town that was an old warehouse. And they decided that they would ask the owner of that building if they could build a clubhouse in this old warehouse. So they got together and they went and they asked the owner, and they said, can you let us or allow us to build a clubhouse in there? He says, well, I don't have a problem with that, but you really have to be careful because it's an old building and, you know, wood may fall on you, and talk to your parents and maybe they can help in a project. So they asked their parents, and again, their concerns were safety. But they said yes. So the children collected all the materials to build their little clubhouse. And then they finally went and they built it. It took them about 2 weeks. And when they were done, one of the boys was so excited. He said, now we can go in our clubhouse and play and do all these things. And another young man said, whoa, before we go in there, because we're a club, we must have some rules. Amen? Every club has to have rules. And the children said, rules? It's our clubhouse. Why should we have rules? They said, we have to have some rules in this club. So they said, well, since you came up with the idea, you come up with the rules and tell us tomorrow when we come back to the clubhouse. So that evening, the young man went home and he sort of labored with this idea of rules. He came up with the idea. Now he has to come up with the rules. So he prayed about it, and then the next morning he got up and he said, I got it. I know what I'm going to tell them. So he went to the clubhouse, and there they were waiting, anxiously waiting to go in the clubhouse and play. And they said, tell us our rules so we can go ahead and play. And he said, okay, here are the rules of this club. Nobody acts big. Second rule was, nobody acts small. And the last rule was, everybody act medium. Amen? So this morning I want you to know that I want to be medium and say, I'm sorry for being late this morning. It wasn't because I thought myself big or small, obviously not. Okay? I just wanted to be medium, and things happened that prevented me from coming on time. But thank you for the invitation. I thank Pastor Bushnell. I spoke with him 2 days ago. And Sharon, I owe you an apology too. I didn't send you my stuff via email. But again, you know, life has a way of having its way. Amen? So again, apologies all around. I want to make sure that we have no spiritual noise. Amen? Does that sound a little strange to you?
No.
It's important to me because in order for me to be used of God, I have to be in a place where I feel comfortable. Amen? In His presence. Amen? So I had to get all the junk out. And now that the junk is out, I'm asking my daughter to come and bring a song. Again, she is a part of my ministry. I thank her so much. I can call her like that and say, please come sing for me. And because I'm dead, she often don't say no, even though I hear no in the back of her voice. But if it's not spoken in the front of her voice, I ignore it. Amen? So thank you, Ray. Please.
Thank you. Happy Sabbath. It's been a while since I've been here. I'm glad to be back. My dad has a song that is very special to him, and he asked me to sing it pretty much every time he preaches now. And it's called Because of Who You Are, and some of you may know it. And for those of you who don't, it's just a really good song. It talks about just because God is who He is, we are just forced to praise Him, or we have to praise Him for everything that He does, for providing for us, for, you know, waking us up in the morning, just for letting us breathe, you know. So just listen to the words. If you know it, please sing along. If you don't, I will probably be singing it again, so you'll know it next time. Happy Sabbath. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Verse 2 is the exact same. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate that so much. That song is important because when I was in Iraq, we used to sing that every day or every Sunday, because I did a Sunday service as well, before the service would start. And you have like 150 voices singing that, and it's really amazing. So I thank you, Ray, for sharing that with us. It's a blessing to me. It reminds me that God is everywhere, amen? And we serve him because he is a mighty God, not because we are mighty people, amen? Y'all a tough crowd. Feel like I'm in Vegas. Just kidding. Well, before we go any further this morning, let's just look at our scripture this morning. Have your Bibles with you, please, because we'll go through the scripture. I believe that we should use our Bibles, amen? Because anything can be said from the pulpit, and if you're willing to swallow it hook, line, and sinker, if you lose your soul, you have yourself to blame. Amen? And it was 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, and it read, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." Amen? Let us pray. Father God in heaven, this morning we are thankful to be in your house of worship. We thank you, O God, that you were merciful to us and spared our lives yet one more Sabbath day. We thank you, O God, that in spite of our state of sin and our often forgetting who you are and praising you as we should, that you have been merciful to us, O God, and given us the use of our limbs this morning. You've given us, O God, sight in our eyes and the use of our mouth to speak, O God, and to sing praises unto you. Father God in heaven, we just pray this morning that your Spirit will come down and fill us up, O God. Fill us to overflowing, O God, that we might read your word and feel the power of your word come alive in our souls. Father God, forgive us of any sins that we have not laid at the altar this morning, that as we hear the word that we might be inspired, O God, to always leave it at the altar in prayer, O God, leave it in faith, O God, knowing that you will clean us up and make us better. And Father God, I pray this morning for myself that you would clean me up, O God, that you'll take out all foolishness and all arrogance, O God, and all craziness, O God, out of me, and let me be your mouthpiece today to share your word, O God, and let your word convict me as well, O God, that I too may know that I am subject to the very things that I speak. I am not bigger, O God. I am not smaller, O God, but I am medium, O God, in your sight. So bless me, O God, that I may be like all others, seeking, willing, loving, hoping, and praying, O God, that we too may find our place in the kingdom when Christ comes again. In your Son's name, amen. This morning, the topic of the sermon is the anatomy of prayer. The anatomy of prayer. And as we saw in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, we are given a charge to rejoice always, amen? To pray continuously or to pray without ceasing. We are told to do this because prayer is our hotline to heaven, amen? How many of you believe that? How many believe that prayer is our direct line to heaven? How many of you have ever prayed in a time of extreme need and God has answered you right away? How many of that happened to you? So you know that we have this communication channel. And the other thing is, when you prayed that prayer in stress and in want, you prayed that prayer in a personal way, amen? You prayed as though you were talking to a friend who knew you and only you, amen? You said, "Lord, it's me again, amen? Hear me, O God, I'm in need. I need you to save me from this moment." The words might be few, but the prayer was personal. The reason why this comes up is because in recent years, and many of you may have heard of this, there was a writer who took a prayer out of the Bible, out of 1 Chronicles 4:10, the prayer of Jabez. How many has heard of that? The prayer of Jabez came out, and this obscure prayer, even though wonderful, and it shows how God answers, this prayer was taken out by the writer, Bruce Wilkinson, and what he did was he wrote it in such a way that he exalted the prayer and not the prayer answerer. Amen? Are you with me? He exalted the prayer, not the one who answered the prayer. And what he said was, he said that this prayer that Jabez prayed is the prayer of all prayers. That if you pray this prayer, all your prayers will be answered whenever you pray. But what is that prayer? Let's look and see. Go in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 4:10. And we're going to look at the prayer of Jabez. And depending on the translation that you have, it may read a little different, but it will be the same in substance. Amen? 1 Chronicles 4:10. And some things to remember about this prayer, as we said earlier, prayers are personal. Amen? They are personal. I can't pray your prayer and get your blessing, but I can pray my prayer in faith. Amen? And get the blessing that God has for me. And it says here, Jabez, and it tells you who prayed it, cried out to God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territories. Let your hands be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. The reason why I'm making a point of this is because here is one man's prayer taken and made a complete following. Amen? There are people out there who pray this particular prayer every day. Every day. This prayer was personal by a man of God who needed God's help, and he prayed it. But the writer of the book, Wilkinson, he says again that this is the prayer that will give you anything that you want. It will answer anything that you ask of God. If we are paying attention to what's happening in our world, much of God's word is being distorted. Amen? We can get someone to snatch one verse, two verses, or maybe one word and create an entire movement behind that, forgetting the God of heaven who inspired the words. Amen? As it comes to prayer, we have to be careful. We are not to contort ourselves or act a certain way or say a certain thing. The only guide that we have in the Bible of this outline for prayer was the Lord's Prayer. Amen? If you want to know how to pray, that's the prayer to look at. How many of you pray hurriedly? How many hurried prayers do we have in here? You know you got to pray. You know you got to say something to God. Amen? Come on, right? So in passing, we say, "Oh, Lord, bless us today. Keep us safe. Give us traveling mercies." Amen. And we are gone. And while you're driving down the road, you may find yourself saying, "Did I pray this morning?" You prayed so fast that you don't even remember that you prayed. Has that happened to you before? I know that prayer is a serious thing for me. It's the only glue that holds me together. If I did not pray, there's so many ills in my life that would not have been taken away. If I had leaned on man for the answer, I would still be seeking and searching. Amen? So when we pray, it should be personal, but we don't need to contort ourselves in any kind of way. We are told in the Bible, in Matthew 6:7, it says, Matthew 6:7, go there in your Bible, it says, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." I remember when I was a youngster, there were some pastors that you did not want to do the blessing of the food. How many of y'all remember those? Because you knew you were having ice cream that day, amen? And Sister Smith already put it on the cake. And by the time he gets done praying, you're going to be eating cake soup. And he will start off he's trying to be so profound. "Oh God, mighty God of heaven, creator of all mankind, brethren, we just want to eat lunch. We don't want a sermon before lunch. We already had the sermon in the church. Amen? So we don't need to stand there and try to be so profound and reach so deep that when they say, my God, he really knows how to pray. We have a desire sometime to be seen and to be a part of the happenings rather than, again, reaching up to heaven and asking the gracious, sovereign God to send his spirit down and fill us. Amen? If he fills us, we will be seen as one of God's people. But if we use all these words, all we're going to be seen as someone who just talks too much. And I know I have that problem. Trust me. But the prayer of Jabez became the standard for millions of people. And still today, people carry it around in their pockets and in their purses. But let's go to the true outline of prayer that Christ himself gave us when he gave us an example of prayer. Let's go to Matthew 6, 9 through 13, and look at this anatomy or the elements or the composition of a prayer. Matthew 6, thank you. I thought I know that I talk a lot and my throat dries out. It takes a lot of moisture to get all that word, those words out, right? You know what I'm saying? Matthew 6, 9 through 13 says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Mine is the New International Version, by the way. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Or from the evil one, as my Bible says here. This outline of prayer is standard and it covers all grounds. Amen? Let's look at it and see. One, it praises our Heavenly Father, yes? Who hears and provides for us. We are giving God recognition, our Father who art in heaven, not man, not woman, not wife, not children, but we are praising the God of heaven and giving him the recognition due. It also provides confession and cleansing as we bow before a holy God. I remember hearing a story of a man who was quite senior, and his son was going to be sworn into office. And the father was well up in years, and he was very ill. And he came there because he wanted to be there because his son was just reaching another milestone in his life. And there he was in this place. And his son said, Dad, when the chaplain comes out and begins to pray, he says, you just stay where you are. We know that you are not feeling well. And he says, don't worry, Dad. God knows that you are here and you are grateful. So as the chaplain came out and said, let us pray. He said, well, he said to the audience or congregation, please stand and let's pray. He saw his father struggling in his wheelchair and he says, Dad, you don't have to stand up. He says, son, I'm not trying to stand. I'm trying to kneel. Amen. We think that we don't need to kneel before the sovereign God, but in order to show that we truly recognize who he is, we ought to be on our knees. Amen. So confession and cleansing as we bow or kneel before a holy God. It also provides thanks for the goodness and the glory of his kingdom. Amen? We should be thankful that there is a kingdom coming. If this was all that we had to look forward to, what a sad thing that would be. Amen? How many believe this world in trouble? We don't really need to be a Christian to believe that, amen? People who are non-believers are seeing that we're in trouble, either by economics or politically for sure, we're in big trouble. But we know that there is a kingdom that is to come, amen? We know that there is this place where God lives, that one day, if we are faithful, if we pray as we should, if we live a life consistent with his son Jesus Christ, we too will be in this place. Amen? So we are thankful for the goodness and the glory of his kingdom. This outline also provides us a sense of confidence in his perfect plan and readiness to yield his will. Confidence and readiness for us to yield to his will. We need to be able to know that if we give in to wanting to do, we give in to what we want to do, we are going to lose every time. Amen? How many of you have prayed and left the altar and did what you wanted to do anyway and found yourself back at the altar? Saying, Lord, the first time I should have listened, but I thought maybe you needed some help. Amen? But if we yield our will, God can work in us the plan for our life. I believe that every life has a plan. Amen? I believe that God made each of us for a purpose. I believe that God has given you children who are his people. He just put them in your house, and you need to pray that God will show you who this person is. Amen? We often forget. We think that we own them. We don't own them. We are just facilitating them. Amen? And in that facilitation, we should introduce them to Christ and teach them to pray. God knows what will come. God knows what we must do. We don't need to be anxious. We don't need to worry about stuff. It tells us in Philippians 4, 6 and 7 in your Bibles. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, especially if you're a praying person, remember this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Amen? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? You don't have to worry. God has a plan for you. Amen? When I look at my own life, I was not born in Hawaii. I was born, as they say, far away in another place. But here I am in this beautiful place of Hawaii, living with my family and enjoying and thanking God each day for what he has given me, because it's more than I had expected. Amen? It's more than I even fathomed. And it wasn't because I was good. It wasn't because I was righteous. It was because God is merciful, and he did it because he did it. Amen? Amen? We want to figure out the whys. Well, I tell you, if you got some whys that are God questions, wait till you get to heaven and ask him yourself, because he'll give you the answer. It gives us confidence. Also, it gives us trust that our provider will meet our needs each day. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen? How many warriors do I have in here? Oh, fewer, huh? Okay. How many praying warriors do I have in here? Okay. It's okay. And that's honesty, right? We need to know that God, if we are praying and asking, God provides our daily need. Amen? We try to look so far down the road. Not that you shouldn't save money. I believe that we should be good stewards of God's resource. Amen? But don't worry about far down the road, because you see, tomorrow is not yours anyway. Amen? You won't get it until God gives it to you. Amen? So why worry about what you don't possess? People sit around worrying about the unknown. Well, if it's called the unknown, why are you worried about it? It's not known. That's why it's un. Isn't that right? If it was a known known, then you would be able to worry. But when it's the unknown, why worry about it? Leave it to God, and he'll take care of it. But today is all we have. Amen? This is God's day today. If this is all we had, why not live a day that's consistent with loving and serving God? Amen? Why worry about the tomorrow that's unknown? We can trust that he'll provide us with our needs every day. It also gives us an understanding that faith, we can achieve faith through the cross, and we have forgiveness for every sin in this outline. Amen? Forgive us our sins as we forgive, or forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. We know that God is giving us an opportunity to lay it all out, and he'll forgive us. How many of y'all are walking around with the burden of sin today? Worry. Okay, I know people don't want to raise their hand, because when they leave here, it'll be like, what's your sin? Right? You know how we do each other. Well, if you are, know this, that you can turn that over to God, and he will forgive you. Amen? But he'll forgive you, and you should not go back and repeat that sin. Amen? You know, sometimes we know that we have this prayer thing that we can do, and we'll continually do the sin over and over and over again. But remember, tomorrow is not promised. We said that already, amen? And you can die in your sin, amen? Is that true? Hard word, but true. Don't play with God. He will forgive you, but then you have to pray for the strength not to return to this thing continuously, amen? We have to pray for that. And we know that God will, in fact, forgive us if we pray. Prayer for grace to forgive others and to be filled with his love. I mean, how many unforgivers do I have in here? When somebody does something to you, you just want to break them down. I could be like that. Oh, thank you, Brother James. You're going to get your check. All right? He's my amen corner. See? I send him a check every now and again. He come around, you know. It says in Mark 11:25 here, and just check this in your Bible so you can remember it. It says in Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespass. Amen? That's God's word. That's not mine. I didn't make that up. I can't make this up. I can't make this kind of stuff up because I want to get some get back myself. I come from a society where you do something to me, you're going to have a bad day already. How many of y'all grew up like that? Okay. Everybody ain't perfect. But in my community up in New York, you couldn't afford to be a victim in Harlem. You just couldn't do it. If somebody victimized you today, your choices were either to go out and claim your own victim and make a statement or run the rest of your life. Amen? You don't have to be a big monster to be scary. Amen? You know that, right? It's not the size of the dog in the fight, but what? The size of the fight in the dog. Y'all never heard that, huh? Y'all been sheltered. I don't know what's going on. But in order to embrace an attitude like that, you have to have a non-forgiving spirit. Amen? You have seen people who terrorize people, who hold on to things. Husband and wives, get rid of the garbage. If you say you forgive someone, forgive them for crying out loud. If you don't forgive them, say you don't forgive them. At least you're honest. Amen? The funny thing about honesty without prayer is this. It's not honest. If you're trying to be honest and you're not praying, you're dishonest. Because you dole it out sparingly. I forgive you. The moment something goes wrong, you bring up the ill again, right? Have you seen that? No? It happens in my world, though. People say, I forgive you, but I won't forget. Well, that means you haven't forgiven me. What a foolish statement. Before you say that again, just say, I don't forgive you. I don't forgive you. I'm going to take it with me to the grave. I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. That means you're going to be remembering this all the time. You didn't forgive me because every time you remember it, you're going to relive the pain. Isn't that right? That's what forgiveness without prayer looks like. Every time you remember it, oh, Lord. You just go off and, I thought you forgive me. Yeah, but it's hard to forget. Well, then you did forgive. If you got a problem, you need to lay it out at the altar. Forgive folks their trespasses, so God can forgive you yours. And this outline in Matthew 6, 9 through 13 gives us that. It's not the prayer of Jabez, is it? It sounds nothing like Jabez's prayer because it was personal. But here, the Son of God is telling us what is a good outline for praying. Prayer for wisdom to recognize and resist any temptation or evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Many times we fall into temptation and sin because we don't pray about that temptation or that sin. Do you know that? Come on now. Do you know that there are certain things that we hold on to? Okay, I'm going to say this, but please take it into context from someone who is speaking. Amen? Okay, as God's representative, many of us know that there is fun in sin. Amen? Come on now. Oh, when y'all were sinning, it wasn't fun. Come on, y'all a hard crowd. Good Lord. I don't know why the Lord let a devil like me come up here and preach to y'all anyway. Well, I'm going to tell you, there was a time when sin was fun. And I wasn't praying about the fun sin. Right, Brother James? Come on now. You on the payroll. Okay now. But we were not praying about that, so God could not give us a way out of that because we didn't ask for any kind of protection against that desire because, you know, we sin and do the things that we want to do. Amen? Is that not true? We go after that thing that we have an appetite for. Amen? Is that not true? People want to blame circumstance and they want to look around the room for a villain walking around like this. Give them a mirror. Because the villain is in you. And if you're not turning that over to God through prayer, how in the world do you expect not to do it? You're going to run to that thing with fast feet. Even though that still small voice is talking, saying, Owen, don't do this thing. Because I'm not ready to surrender that to God, I'm going to pursue that. Amen? Isn't that right? So in your prayer, it says here, pray for wisdom to recognize and resist temptation or evil. Recognize what it was. Before you came to the faith, you did not know often that what you were doing was sinful. And what is sin? Anything that separates you from God. So you fill in the blanks. You say, I don't drink. Got it. Good for you. I don't smoke. Got it. Great. But do you lie? Do you gossip? Do you backbite? Amen? Come on now. Are you just mean? Huh? Come and sing praises to the God, but you're just so mean that you can't stand yourself. Every time you come in the room with yourself, you're angry. Those are the things we need to pray about that God will give us power to overcome, and the Lord's Prayer covers that. And it says, pray for his sovereignty, love, and faithfulness to those who follow him. We want to be part of this kingdom. Amen? Yes? We want to find our way into this kingdom, but we too have to know that we have a responsibility to pray to God. We have to come to him in earnest. We have to make it personal. Amen? I can't pray the prayer of Jabez, even though it's a wonderful prayer of how God will answer prayer. It is not my prayer. Amen? Amen? Whew, man. I'd rather fight five men. Y'all a rough crowd. We need to keep in mind that God wants us to come faithfully to the throne. If you are praying without faith, then why pray anyway? Amen? If you don't believe that God can, then of course he won't. Not because he can't, it's because you have no faith. Amen? And he might be doing and you don't see it. Y'all heard the story about the guy who was in like a flood and he prayed to God for help. Amen? and God sent a boat. And he said, no, I'm waiting on the Lord. Right? And then he sent a helicopter and he said, no, I'm still waiting on the Lord. And the story goes that he dies and he goes on and he's in glory and he says, Lord, I prayed and you didn't come for me. And he says, well, I sent you a boat, but you wouldn't get in. And I sent a helicopter and you wouldn't get in because you were waiting. So what were you waiting for? I answered your prayer. But if you are not mindful of your prayer life and if you don't believe that God will, even when he does, you will say he didn't. Amen? How many of y'all have ever seen people say, Lord, I need a car? And God provide them what we call a hoopty. Remember those? It's not the most fabulous car, but it's four wheels, an engine, doors, windows, wipers, right? And an up-to-date safety sticker. And it will get you from point A to point B, and then you get this ability to be mobile. Now you're concerned because your friend just bought a brand new Lexus. God answered your prayer, Lord, give me a car. I need to get to work. Now, not to say that he would have gave you a Lexus, because obviously you're caught up in things, amen? But God answered the prayer, but then we want more. What is it that we really want? Only you know. Tell God so he can tell you what you really need, amen? Or show you what you need, amen? Does that make sense? But in order to know that, you got to pray, and you have to pray personal prayers. Personal prayers. Make it personal. When I pray, I don't always pray aloud. My wife don't always know what I'm praying about. It's not part of the marriage vows. You know? It's not. I don't got to tell her what I'm praying about all the time. But I pray personal prayer that she do. And I hope my children do. And my son is teaching his children to do. Talk to God like a friend, amen? When you get with your friends, you don't, well, I hope that you don't be talking about other people. Right? We shouldn't be doing that if we're doing it the wrong way. But pray personally. Let God use you. Use the model that Christ gave us to pray. Don't listen to all this stuff because there's so much information out there. People are trying to make God fit a lifestyle that lacks commitment. Amen? If I can tell you one way to do something, and that's the only way, all I've really done to you is I've made you like me. I've made my world comfortable because you're like me now. And I'm trying to get a whole bunch of me's out there so I can feel comfortable in my world. Amen? Isn't that right? If I'm selling you something and I want you to look like me at the end of the day, I'm trying to create more of me. We are called Christians, yes? Yes? Not Owens, are we? Not Marys or Charlies. So we should look more like Christ and less than ourselves we should look like. Amen? But in order to do that, we have to communicate with him. And the way we do that is through prayer. He is our intercessor. He is the one that will go before the Father and plead our case for us. But if we are not praying, if we are buying into hype about prayer, we're going to miss the boat. Amen? So the Lord's Prayer reflects this good anatomy of prayer, this good example and model that we should follow. It doesn't have to be the exact words, but the elements, amen, are important. What it consists of, always be thankful in your prayer, not just give me, Lord. There are times when we have to say a gimme prayer, but most times we can do a thank you, Lord prayer. That's what we should say, right? Amen? Thank him first before you ask for more stuff. How many parents I have in here? You know that, right? If all you did was give your children stuff and every time you see them, oh, Dad, can I get a car? Dad, can I get a this? What about that Xbox, Dad? And what about that, Dad? Can I get that too, Dad? And while you're getting that, can you get me the, right? You'll eventually say, my goodness, aren't you ever grateful for anything? Can't you say thank you? While the food is still yet in your mouth, hanging out, you're looking for dessert? Talking about, right? It's like, what? Swallow your food. Say thank you first before you ask for more. And if you develop a relationship with Christ, you will learn how to put that in perspective. Amen? The preacher can't teach you how. Parents can't really teach you how. They can tell you to pray and why we pray and what's the reason and the benefits of prayer. But you and I have to develop a relationship with Christ. Amen? And the way we call him up is through prayer. Amen? So today, as you go about your way and as you pray, remember, don't recite a prayer that you've recited over and over that you can do as you're falling off to sleep and bless everyone. Right? Okay? It's not that kind of a thing. Be conscious about your prayer. Make sure that it's something that God will hear because it goes beyond the roof of your house. Amen? I remember one time, I always share that story, when we were in Guam, I went upstairs to pray and I was so tired. Again, one of those, but I got to pray, Lord. And when my wife and children came upstairs, I was fast asleep on my knees. Now, I don't remember praying, but I sure do remember waking up feeling real bad for falling asleep with my head on the bed and my knees and my back was killing me. I was not in the right attitude for prayer. Amen? I should have prayed while I was still fresh. But many of us wait until there's real need and then we pray and then we hurry through it and we get mad when we don't get an immediate blessing. God will answer on time every time. How many of y'all believe that? And sometimes God's answer is what? No. That's a hard one to tell folks. Well, why would God say no? Well, one last thought. Remember, whenever you ask a person a question, you give them two choices. Maybe is not a choice. Okay? We make an assumption that the answer is yes. How many of y'all believe that? We always assume the answer is going to be yes. You don't believe that, okay? Check this out. The next time somebody comes to your house and they ask you to use your bathroom, say no. Usually they ask you as they're walking towards your bathroom, right? Isn't that right? They say, no, you can't use our bathroom. What? That's how we are with God, amen? We expect him to say yes, right? Because people say, pray, ask, and it shall be given unto you, right? Well, God will give you what you need, amen? Not what you want. When you pray in faith, you say, God, if it is your will, amen? Yes? But when you assume the answer is yes, you will always, or most often, I should say, not always, most often be disappointed because God didn't give you what you wanted. But he sure enough gave you what you needed. But try that experiment. Or a telephone. Someone says, can I use your phone? No. Right? Things that people expect a yes answer for, you'll be shocked. They'll be thrown. Because there's only one appropriate response, and it's yes. That's the only response. That's why they're moving towards that area. So remember that today. When you pray this evening, when you pray for those who are sick and those who are having hard times, remember to pray in faith and pray as though you're talking to your friend. Because Christ is our friend. Amen? He came and died for us while we were yet sinners, yes? And he did that for us. So he is friendly towards us. Why not pray to him your prayer? Amen? Not the prayer of Jabez. That was a wonderful blessing to a man so many years ago. Amen? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we are grateful for this time together. Bless us, O God. Teach us to pray. Fill us up, O God, with your spirit. Give us the words to speak. And Father God in heaven, we just thank you so much for your son who came and died for us, who gave his life for us, O God, when he didn't have to. We thank you, O God, for him just being so willing to do this so that he can save mankind. Bless us, O God, that we never forget the gift and that we always remember that one day, if we are faithful, we'll see him and thank him face to face in heaven. In Christ's name, amen. The closing hymn is TBD. Well, let me pick one. Hold on, ma'am. I'll get one for you. To be determined, huh? Okay. I tell you what. Why don't we do 289? Page 289, please stand.